Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it! New thing! This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. But they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
And my beautiful family. I'd like to give thanks to all my wonderful friends and supporters out there. And I'd like to thank those people who are listening to me that I do not even know. I appreciate you listening in to me, whether you like my stuff or not. People are tuning in, and the show is for the people. So when we get to 10,000 listeners, right now we're at 8,000, I would like to increase the volume of callers, get people's input to make the show even better than what it is. Because this show, I would like to say this because it's very important to me. This show is not about George. This show is about God. This show is about giving the ability of people to get whatever that is that's on their hearts, that's on their minds, that's on their spirits, get it out so we can move on and build. And what I'm talking about, build relationships again. Build love, okay? And I tell you this. Listen, when I'm doing these shows, I tell people all the time in my shows, when I'm doing this, I am under attack by the devil all of the time. You see, when you go into echelons, when you are destroying, identifying, and showing the truth, Satan will attack you on all levels. He will send his dominions out after you. And I'm not saying that I'm bulletproof. Today was a very hard day. I'm not here giving the sob story, and I'm not apologizing. But what I'm saying is we have to pray and fast. And I ask for my listeners who believe in prayer and supplication prayer and fasting to pray for me, because I am under attack. I am seriously under attack. I'm not perfect. I have my things. But once again, that's between me and God. Okay? So I want to thank my listeners. I want to thank the people who don't like my show. I will be under attack, but that's all right, because I'm going to weather the storm, okay? The song that I played for my intro tonight is called There Is a Way by Mos Def, all right? Mos Def, M-O-S-D-E-F, Mos Def, all right? He's been a rapper for a while, love his stuff. All right, played in a couple movies, but, you know, here or there. So let me go ahead and get things out of the way like I always do. And I'm trying to get my enthusiasm back, but like I said, I am under attack. And all praises to God. I can't say nothing. I've got to praise him in the good times and the bad times. Because if you're only a rebel rouser when things are good and good, then when the good time, when the bad time comes, you know good, okay? So what do you want to be? You want to be the one they can depend on in the foxhole, even though when the bullets are flying, or you want to be the one to be dependent on when you can talk all that noise but there's nothing going on? I'm not a fair weather friend. I'm there to the end. I'm not a fair weather person. We carry it up through the end. But I'm not going to sit here and be a fool and take it either. But like they say, let me read this real quick. This is what Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:5-10. I read it the other night, and I'm going to read it again tonight because I want everybody to understand where I'm coming from. See, I didn't just get here, just so happened just to fall up. Oh, I'm talking about Jesus all of a sudden. No. I've been on this journey for a long time. Been on a journey for a long time. So this is 2 Corinthians 12:5-10. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of those that surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my side, in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all about more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in my weaknesses, my insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The reason why I read that is because if you listen to me from the very beginning, I put myself out there of the sins that I've done. Okay? People can say whatever they want about me, but when Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that that Christ's power may rest on me, that it is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in the insult, in the hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. So people are going to talk about you regardless if you're doing the right thing. If you're doing the wrong thing, they ain't going to talk about you much. You know why? Because y'all still on the same level. But when you're doing God's work, when you're trying to, if you're just trying to do something good, period. You know what I'm talking about. Let me move on. It's going to be a deep program tonight, y'all. Deep program. You can find me on Facebook, george.mango.904. You can find me on Twitter at soundoff97413. Call in at 347-989-9014. My website is up now. Just tweaking it. You can find it off at soundoffforums.com, .net, .org, all in the web browser. And you can also do it on your Android. You can get things off your Android as well. As we always do, Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service and man pleasers, but the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever so good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darknesses of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. And let the church say amen. So where I'm coming from, y'all, tonight is called spiritual gifts. Okay? Spiritual gifts. Listen. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit here. We talk about them all the time. Those are the things that you need to have in order to do your day-to-day life. Now, when you are called, or even if you don't know that you're called, these are the things that the Holy Spirit provides you when you are baptized and fulfilled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first one is wisdom. The second is understanding. Third is wondering. Awe, counsel, knowledge, fortitude, and reverence. Now, these gifts of the Spirit, there's work to be done. See, this promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. where the church actually got to spread. When everybody was on one accord on the day of Pentecost, this is Acts 2. After the Great Commission was given to them, when I say to them, I'm talking about the disciples, when they were given these things. Now, there's a part of the Bible where his disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't these people, or why couldn't they drive out this demon? He said sometimes it takes more than just that. It takes fasting and prayer. Okay? So let me break down these spiritual gifts. Okay? In Romans 12, 6 through 8. So what I'll do is I'll tell you the scripture, I'll give you the description, and then I'll go in and then I'll read the scripture for you, okay? So we've got Romans 12, 6 through 8, okay? So in that you have people who can prophesy, you have people who serve, you have people who teach, you have people that has exhortation, you have people who give, you have leadership, and you have mercy. Romans 12, 6 through 8, the International Version. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy is according to your own faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give with a generosity. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, some people have all of them. Some people do not. It just depends on how your makeup is. Now, some people say, well, if you've got the Holy Spirit, then you should have all of these. Well, some people don't have all of these. Doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit. It just means that you just don't have some of these gifts. Okay? Now, you can develop the gifts, because I've developed a lot of these gifts. And this is when the survival kit comes into place. How you handle your sin and how you read your Bible. That's all I'm going to say. Bypass. Then we go to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. You have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gift of healing, miracles, prophesying, distinguishing between the spirits, you have tongues, and you have interpretation of tongues. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this one right here gets a lot of people. I don't care what your denomination is. I want you to read your Bible. Okay. Once you read your Bible, if you don't understand it, you need to ask God. Because you can talk to man all day, and we can give you opinions, and we can give you what we think. But you go ahead and you ask God to give you these gifts right here. Okay? These gifts, definitely important. You got to ask God to help you with this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, please, Holy Spirit, give me these. Because when Solomon said, hey, all I want is wisdom. God bless him. He was the most wise man ever to ever live. So what I'm saying is you can pray and get these gifts right here, okay, spiritual gifts. What I want to point out is some people don't believe that you can have wisdom. Some people don't believe that you can have the word of knowledge. Some people don't believe in the gift of faith. And believe me, it's a gift. Because, excuse me. Let me, and I apologize because I have got to do it and do it correctly because that's just the way I want to do things here and be correct when I say it. And I don't have all these down, and I'm bearing with God and waiting on God to give it to me. Excuse me. You have to please excuse me. Yes, this is where I'm going with this. It says Hebrews 11, the New International Version. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were conceived for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain. By the faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. By faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. I can go on and on and on. But just go ahead and read Ephesians. Read Hebrews 11. And I may come back to it. I may have to come back to it. And like I said, I like to do things right and in order because that's just, I just want to make sure I'm correct when I say these things. The gift of healings. Very important. It is so important that if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I put the link up in the room. I put the link up in the room so people can follow on my Facebook page, and it is so important that you understand what's going on in the Bible when they talk about tongues, okay? Because you are able to speak tongues. I don't understand. Some people say that you cannot speak tongues. That it's some type of it's devilish. I really don't know exactly where they get that from. Because the Bible that I've read, you should be able to speak tongues. And I mean, it's straight out the Bible. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 as a new international version. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongues, do not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no understanding them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and the comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good would I do to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge of prophecy of the words of the instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that may sound, such as the pipe or the harp, who have anyone know that the tune is being played unless there was some distinct notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for the battle? So it is with you unless you speak intangible words with the tongue. How will anyone know that you are what you're saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. Then I do not grasp the meaning of that. Someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker. And if the speaker is a foreigner to me, so it is what you is. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praying, God in the spirit has, how can someone else who is now put in the position of inquiry say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak in 5 intangible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regards of the evil of infants, but in your thinking to be adults. In the law it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners I will speak to the people, but even then they shall not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for the believers. So if you have the whole church coming together and everyone speaking in tongues, an inquiry of the non-believer comes in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while someone is prophesying, they are convinced of the sin and are brought unto judgment by all. As the secrets of these by the heart are they lied bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So, God says you can't speak in tongues. Interpreting of the tongues. So let's go over this again. It says, 1 Corinthians 12:8-10, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophesy, distinguishing between spirits, and that's called discernment. Another word for that. tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Okay? Corinthians 12. Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of the wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the meanings of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another's gifts is of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still among the interpretation of the tongues. Now, why is that important? Because, as you know, not only are there seven spirits, gifts of the spirits, it's also what humans call the seven deadly sins. Now, where does this all come from? Okay, well, it's an early Roman Catholic makeup. They said it began in the early 14th century, and the population of seven deadly sins is a theme of the European art in the time. Especially they helped to engrave them in many of the areas of Catholic culture and Catholic consciousness in a general throughout the world. Okay, so that's where it comes from. Okay, now, the seven, as they call it, seven deadly sins, or they call them cardinal sins, there's wrath, there's greed, there's sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. Now, we've all seen the movie Seven, or some of us have seen it, some of us have not seen it. But somebody, my daughter told me, she said, "Dad, did you know that the show SpongeBob is based off of the Seven Deadly Sins?" And I'm like, "I don't watch SpongeBob anyway." So, to me, I'm like, no, I didn't know that. So me and my wife go and look it up, and sure enough, it is part of that. Let me look. I wasn't going to do it, but since we're talking about seven deadly sins, it's just something that you need to be aware of. And I don't know exactly what page it's on, but okay, here we go. I'll post the link up in the group in the room so everybody can see it. You can just type it in and Google it and in there, and that's what I did. Okay. So yeah. So let's see. So, sloth is Patrick, wrath is a Squidward, greed is Mr. Krabs, envy is Plankton, gluttony is Gary, pride is Sandy, and lust is SpongeBob. Okay? So, I'm saying these things so we get an understanding where we're coming from, putting it into terms. Now, it's going to get a little deep, and I'm going to go far right for this. And the reason why I'm going to go far right with this is because there's things that we've got to talk about in depth. In the book of Proverbs, there are verses traditionally associated with King Solomon. It states that the Lord specifies regarding six things the Lord hateth, and the seventh his soul detested, namely. The first would be a proud look. Proud look. The second would be a lying tongue. The third would be hands that shed innocent blood. The hand that sheds innocent blood. The fourth thing is a heart that devises wicked plots. Okay. A heart that devises wicked plots. That's number four. Number five, feet that are swift to run into mischief. Six, a detestable witness that utters lies. Seven, he that soweth discord among his brothers. Okay? Now, what I'll do is I'll take you to Galatians 5:19-21, the New International Version, to give you a New Testament reading, and that came out of Solomon, Old Testament. This is the New Testament coming from Paul. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immoralities, impurities, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-abigishment, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and likewise. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty deep, isn't it? Now, when I told you that it's going to get deep, I'm going to give you some definitions about these. Lust, for example. Well, people think they know what lust is, and I'm sure they do. But here it goes. It is the intent of desire. It is usually thought of as an excessive sexual want. However, the word was originally general term for desire. Therefore, lust could be involved the intent of desire of money, fame, or power as well. Gluttony derives from a Latin word said gluttire, meaning the glut down or swallow. It is a overindulging or consumption of anything to the point of waste. Now, there's six ways to commit gluttony. Eating too soon, eating too expensively, eating too much, eating too eagerly, eating too daintily, or eating wildly. Now you see that it is the overindulgence or the overconsumption of anything to the points of waste. And those are the six categories. So those who eat daintily, that's you're still being gluttonous because you're not eating, okay? Greed. We know what greed is, but let me show you what greed is. It is like lust and gluttony, a sin of excess. However, greed, assumed by the church was applied, was very excessive or rapeteer desire or the pleasures of materialistic possessions. It also has of scavenging, quartering, theft, robbery, violence, trickery, manipulation, and authority of the acts of maybe inspired by greed. Sloth. can be entailed different views. Sloth is sometimes defined as a physical laziness, spiritual laziness, if it's emphasized. Falling to develop spiritually is the key to developing greediness of sloth. It also has been defined as a failure to do things that one should do. Evil exists when good men fail to act. And we see that all the time, though. You know what I'm saying? We see that all the time. Like, for example, I think this one would apply to the people who did not go help Trayvon Martin. They heard the baby screaming, but they could not differentiate, was it with the baby screaming or George Zimmerman screaming. It says, it is defined that evil exists when good men fail to act. So they're saying when people fail to go and to even just to stop him or to identify who was getting or who was wrestling or who was where, evil won that moment. Okay? And I'm not saying that everyone's perfect, but what I'm saying is we've got to be aware of these things. Okay? Wrath. It's also known as rage. Maybe described as an inordinate or uncontrollable feeling of hatred or anger. The repressed form, the present self-destructiveness of violence and the hate that may provoke you to go in rage. This also includes revenge, and impatientness. Now, when you say, I want to get justice out of revenge, is that also always a good thing? It just depends on how you look at it. Envy. Envy is simply to be jealous of both the countenance towards someone's traits, stature, abilities, or reward. I mean, that's simple as it. Simple as you get. Pride. Pride is considered the original and the most serious of the seven deadly sins. By whose definition? I have no idea, but here we go. It is identified as the desire to be more important or effective than others. Failing to acknowledge the good work of others and to have excessive love of self, especially holding self out of proper positions toward God. Love is self-preservation to hatred and contempt to one's neighbor. Now, check this out. Pride is the deadliest of all sins and leads directly to the denomination of the triumphant fame of the story of Lucifer. Pride, his desire to compete with God, was what caused him to fall from heaven and has relentlessly transformed into Satan. Okay? So, another distinction of that pride would be the Tower of Babel. Now, I want to give you a mirror image of the 70 deadly sins, and then the virtue to the 7 deadly sins. So the yin to the yang. Okay, so the light would be the virtue, and of course, the sins or the vice would be the yang, okay? So, we'll go with the virtue first. Chastity, and then there's lust. You have temperance, then you have gluttony. You have charity, then you have greed. You have diligence, then you have sloth. You have patience, then you have wrath. You have kindness, then you have envy. You have humility, then you have pride. Now, I'm definitely about to take you down a path, and if this is too much for you, then it's just too much for you. But I would pray that you do your own research and get a lot of understanding where I'm coming from this. And these names that I'm going to say are in the Bible. Some of them are, anyway. Now, whether you believe this stuff or not, once again, that's up to you. But you have to understand that those spirits are out there. Okay? So, before I get to that, I need to go back to God first. Okay? Go back to God. So we can get ourselves together. Now, with these virtues, okay? These virtues, the gift of wisdom correlates to the virtue of charity, and then the gift of understanding and knowledge correlates to the virtue of faith. And then the gift of counsel or right judgment correlates to the virtue of precedence. And then the gift of fortitude correlates with the virtue of courage. The gift of fear of the Lord corresponds with the virtue of hope. And the gift of reverence corresponds with the virtue of justice. Now, I need everybody to come back with me, and so we can go on this train together. Okay, I need everybody to come on the train with me. So I'm gonna go to 1 Peter 4:11, and it says these gifts, spiritual gifts, is whoever speaks and whoever renders service. Okay. And this is coming out of 1 Peter 4:11, the New International Version. And it says, for if anyone speaks, they should do it so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Okay? You need to stay with me. I don't want to lose you. Now we're going to go to what everybody knows, the functioning of the church. Okay? This comes from 1 Corinthians 12:28. We have apostles, we have prophets, we have teachers, we have miracles, kindness, kinds of healings, helps, administration, and tongues. I'll read you Corinthians 12:28. It says, and God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophecies, third teachers, then miracles, then the gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and the different kinds of tongues. Then we'll go to Ephesians 4:11. It says, apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, and teachers. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the priests, the prophets, the evangelists, and the preachers, and the teachers. Now I'm about to break this thing down. Apostles, the title apostles, are messengers who send forth with order. It refers to one who has been given or been delegated authority by another in a foreign land. Apostles were the first leaders of the church. They were commissioned by Jesus to initiate and direct the preaching of the gospel. While the majority of the Christians agreed that they had little the title apostles in the reserve, that among the first generation of the Christians, many Christians denominations continued in one way or another to recognize the continuation of apostolic ministry. Many churches, such as the Roman Catholic and the East Orthodox churches, believe that the doctrine of apostolic succession, okay, withholds the proper ordained bishops are succeeding the apostles. Other Christian groups, such as the classical Pentecostals, consider the role of missionaries to be fulfilling of the apostolic ministry. Therefore, some Christians, however, who advocate restoring the fivefold ministry, including the formal revelation of the office of apostles, and then there are others who say that the office no longer exists. Then you have prophets. In the New Testament, the order of the prophet is the second only to the office of the apostle. The prophet's gift is to prophesy. Prophesying is the recording or the reporting of something that God spontaneously brings to your mind. Many particular Pentecostals distinguish between the office of prophets and the gifts of prophesying, believing that the Christian that possesses the gift of prophesying without holding the prophetic office. Evangelist. An evangelist is one who devotes himself or herself to preaching the gospel. In the New Testament, evangelists preached from city to city, church to church. Preachers. This term derives from the Greek word shepherd. Preachers are gifted to lead, guide, and to set an example of their Christians. The grammatical standard of Ephesians 4:11 leads many to consider that teachers and pastors should be considered one term, pastors or teachers. Even so, the two terms are not interchangeable. While preachers are teachers, not all teachers are pastors, which is very true. Someone who devotes his or her life to preaching and teaching the Christian faith. When teaching is provided for the church by God, two gifts are automatically given to the church. It's giving a teacher, and among with the teachers comes a divine capacity to teach. Serve. The word translates to ministry, which can also be translated to service. Since there are many types of ministries and services of churches, this is then described a broad array of gifts, rather it be singular, a single gift. Exhortation is the ability to motivate Christians to participate in endurance, brotherly love, and good works. Giving. Those who with this gift share their own possessions of others and extensively generosity. While all Christians should be givers, those possessing this gift will go beyond their natural giving. Leading. This gift speaks to the various leadership roles found in churches. While many things of this role, such as the administration, management of funds, strategic planning, et cetera, as the foundation outside of the supernatural realm. In reality, individuals in these positions are just as needed in the supernatural empowerment as the ministry of gospel. Some writers consider the gifts of governments and leading to be the same gift, but others consider it then closely related, but yet different. Mercy possesses the identification to the gifts of helps. The mercy showering possesses a ministry of vision, visitation, prayers, and compassion to the poor and to the sick. Words of wisdom, an utterance or message of wisdom supernaturally granted to an individual. For Paul, wisdom referred to the knowledge of the great Christian's mysteries, the incarnation, passion, the revelation of Christ, and the indwelling in the believers of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2 and Ephesians 1 and 17. Word of knowledge. The knowledge is often said to be related to understanding Christian doctrine or scriptural truth. It is sometimes said to be connected to the ministry of teachers. Faith refers to that the strength or the special faith with removing mountains, casting out demons in Matthew 7, 19 and 20. The face of the most cruel martyrdom without flinching. It is distinguished from the saving and the natural Christ faith. So this faith right here is a deep faith. This is the faith that I was talking about a few minutes ago. This faith refers to that of strength and specific faith, which removes mountains, casts out demons, from Matthew 17, 19 and 20. The faith of the most cruel martyrdom without flinching, like Stephen. Stephen was one of them bad brothers who had faith until death. Okay? So the gift of healing, the ability of the supernatural minister healing one another, healing others, the plural indication that the variations of sickness, healing, and many forms of gift taking, works of miracles, the performance of deeds beyond the ordinary human ability by the power of the Holy Spirit. Disconcerning of spirits, okay, or what we call discernment of spirits. The capacity to discern, distinguish, or to discriminate the source of the spirit manifestation, whether if emancipated by good or evil spirit. It seems to have been particularly associated with prophesying, as it would be necessary to know whether the prophecy utterance was truly inspired by God. Tongues, the supernatural ability of speaking in an unlearned language. Paul seems to have distinguished between the public use of the gift, which must always be interpreted, and the private use, which was the spiritual strengthening of oneself. Currently among Christians, there is a dispute as whether tongues were or always and speaking unlearned human languages, or whether it is considered of glossarialist speaking of the unlearned or the alleged non-human language of heavenly or angelistic origin. Interpretation of the tongues. This gift always allows the public experience of the gift of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, Apostle Paul requires that all speech in Christian worship should be intangible. This requires the speech to be given in unknown tongues to be interpreted by the common language of the gathering of the Christians. Helps. This gift has to do with the service to the sick and the poor. Administration is also called the gift of governing. And so now, we are going to get into some. We're going to get on some upper room type stuff, okay? All right, but there's some other gifts. They said there's some other gifts. I want to clarify these clips. It says celibacy, which is a gift. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7:7. Hospitality, which is 1 Peter 4:9-10. Intercession, which is Romans 8:26-27. Marriage, which is 1 Corinthians 7:7. It's effective witnessing is Acts 1:8, 5:32, 26:22, 1 John 5:6. And then others found in the Old Testament is craftsmanship, such as the specific ability to give the artisticness of a building, a tabernacle, like in Exodus 35:30-33, the interpretation of dreams by Joshua and of Daniel, and composing spiritual songs, poetries, and hymns. So now that we got that all through, woo, it's about to get deep. And the reason why it's about to get deep is because we're going to go back to the seven deadly sins, okay? And the reason why we're going to go back to these deadly seven sins is because now you have to understand why it's important for us to guard our hearts and our spirits daily, okay? Now, in 1589, there was this person. I want to pull him up, find out who he is exactly. He was a German bishop and theologian, okay? And he died in Trier. I know where that is exactly. I used to live out there. But he was. I'll give you a little background story and education. He said he was his name is Peter Benfield. He was born the son of a farmer and a craftsman in a village of Benfield, a rural area of the Eifel area in Germany, in Rhineland, Platz. And he died in Trier, which is also in France. It's in France, but it's in Germany as well. Okay, and his education and his career said it is considered by a local abbey that was very gifted boy that Peter Benfield was sent to Rome to study. After he studied, he returned to home in his region and became an important personality in the anti-Catholic activities of the late 16th century. He was elected to the bishop. Excuse me. He was elected to bishop of Trier and became a well-known theologian writer who achieved notoriety as one of the most pertinent witch hunters of his time. Benfield wrote the influential treatise, and it's in Latin, and I don't know what it is, but it's translated, of the Confessions of Warlocks and Witches, translated into several different languages in 1589, which works discussed in confidence of the alleged witches and the claims of that even seven in such confessions were provided by torture. Okay, he thought that the girl under 12 and boys under the age of 14 could not be considered guilty of participants of witchcraft. Now, you're asking me, why is this important? He published a list of what he called the demons or the associations of sin. He also published the demons associated with the seven deadly sins. So, with this, he has Satan and Lucifer as pride, Mammon is greed, Asmodeus as lust, Leviathan as envy, Beelzebub as gluttony, Ammon, that's A-M-O-N, with wrath, and Beelphegor as sloth. And you said, George, why are you bringing these things up? Because it is important, it's important that we, if we talk about these things, we allow our children to watch SpongeBob, we allow our children to do all these things, or we allow ourselves to do all these things, and we talk about this. We talk about this openly, but we don't get into the meats and potatoes and have understanding. Because now we live in an era, there was the Congressman Cleaver from Missouri came to Wichita Falls and spoke on the Martin Luther King King prayer breakfast and says, we live in the age, because he's a congressman, he said, we live in an age of false evidence, fact-free evidence. So back in the day when, you know, when you wanted to present something to somebody, you have facts, you had your statistics and all that stuff. Now people are just going off based off their opinions and how they feel or just something, whatever. And then people take with it and run with it, okay? So what I'm here to do is to inform you, to give you factual information, to educate you, and so you can understand the wiles of the devil. What's the wiles of the devil? His attacks. Okay? So let's start with greed. Now, this and it's pronounced Mammon, it's M-A-M-M-O-N, you can look it up yourself, and it derives from late Latin and Greece and Syrian. It also has Arabic origin as well, and also has Hebrew, and it just basically means that is which one mistrusts. Now, when you hear about this one specifically, it's not one of those words that pop out like Beelzebub does in the Bible. Because I mean, to tell you the truth, I've never heard of this. But it says in the Bible, Mammon is personified in Luke 16:13 and in Matthew 6:24, the latter verse repeating Luke 13. So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at Luke. Let's take a look at that because it's I want to be factual when I give these things. So he says, it Luke 13, personified in Luke 16:13. So Luke Okay. So Luke 13 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one or despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow. Okay, I see where they're going with this. Okay, now when we talk about who this certain demon is, this certain demon deals with greed. All right, so that's where it comes from. Let's look at Matthew 6:21. I believe it to be 21. I want to make sure 24. I apologize. That's Matthew 6:24. And we're going from the New International Version. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, and you will be devoted to one and despite the other. You cannot serve both money and God, which is the same thing. Okay? So now that we know that this demon or deity is part of this deadly sins. We don't hear about this one, but rest assured, we don't need to know the name of the demon. We just need to know that. Well, we do need to know the name of the demon because when we start praying, we gotta pray to get rid of them. Okay, let's go to Leviathan, which is a Hebrew word that means okay. This Hebrew word means is a great sea monster. Okay, it's a great sea monster. And it was in Job 41, if you want to go look it up in the Tahara. Now, the Leviathan in the mid ages was used to identify or to the image of Satan endangering both God's creation by attempting to eat them and by God them and God's creation by threatening an upheaval of the water of chaos. The Leviathan is a demon of envy first and published in the Correspondings of Sins. So once again, let me pull up this thing. It's so we know that the Leviathan one was talked about in Job 41, but it was also talked about in Moby Dick. So when we start talking about those type of things, they come up a lot. And we have no idea what they mean, but the meaning of those words correlates to the new idea of what people think nowadays. And why is that important? It's because, like I said, we talk about these things openly all the time, but we don't know or go into the depths of it. Okay? So this is an interesting point that I just saw. It says the Church of Satan uses the Hebrew letters of such at each of the points of the sigil of the Baphomet to represent the Leviathan. Wow. That's very interesting. I didn't know. I know that. If you don't know what the Baphomet is, so it is above and so it is below. Also, half goat, half man. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. So the Leviathan deals with a lot of water things, and I want to bring this up as well. So we got a couple minutes. I'll go through this and then I'll wrap it all up. Okay? So let's see here. We got one left. Beelzebub. Now, everybody knows who Beelzebub is. Beelzebub was used in Constantine, and it was used in other ones. But Constantine, the movie in Constantine with that, what's that young man? The one who played in Neo? Keanu Reeves. Now, Beelzebub was the demon fighting Constantine in this. Everybody wants to know about Beelzebub. Beelzebub he's very popular. I don't know if he's a high demon in the army of Satan or what, but we can find that out, I guess. This says he was a deity that was worshipped by the Philistines in Erech. And the Christians and the biblical sources has referred to another one as for the devil. And Christian demonology is one of the seven princes of hell. Let me look that up. Because okay. That's a little deep. I don't want to go for that far. I got to pray on these. Yeah. This is a little deep, you know, so it's giving me, God giving me discernment to turn back on this, so I'm not going to even touch that, yo. I'm not going to even touch it. I got to do a little bit more prayer before I get in that. But he is part of the seven princes of hell. Obviously, he's a high demon, obviously, okay? He's nobody to mess with. So the source of the name Beelzebub is in 2 Kings 1, verses 2 through 3, 6, and 16. It's understood that the Lord of the Flies are the Lord of the heavenly dwelling. Originally, the name of the Philistine god, you remember David and Goliath? Goliath was a Philistine, okay? And his also another name that they used was Baal, Baal, okay? And you'll see that name a lot. So so now as you know that. I'm telling you, it is, I'm getting some deep stuff right now because my spirit is giving me, and yeah, I guess they're trying to get me right now because I'm talking about their secrets. Woo! Okay, so in the Testament of Solomon, Beelzebub appears as a prince of the demons, said 6.2, that he was a formerly leader of the heavenly angels, who was 6.7 associated with the star. I cannot pronounce that. Is Hesperos, Hesperus. I got to look that up, which is the normal Greek name for the planet Venus. As evening star, seemingly Beelzebub here is simply Lucifer. Beelzebub claims to cause destruction through tyrants to these demons to worship among men, to exalt priests to lust and cause jealousies in cities and murders, and to bring on war. The Testaments of Solomon and the Hellenistic Old Testament, another big word I can't pronounce, by King Solomon, in which the Solomon mostly described, particularly the demons who were enslaved to help build the temple, and subsequently the Christians, interlopers. Now, so that's very interesting, because the interesting thing is this: how does King Solomon know who are the demons he enslaved to help build the temple? I gotta look that up, y'all. I mean, because that is some very deep stuff. So, if we're talking about King Solomon's temple, the wisest man that ever lived on the planet, he had to have discernment. He had to be able to discern through spirits. He had to be able to discern the language, and that was given through God. And in the New Testament, Mark 3:22, let's look that up real quick. Because I want to know what they're referencing. And sometimes you got to reference before and after. You know, it says, Mark 3:22 says, and the scriptures were cast down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons he has cast out the demons. Now, we have already determined that when they say princes, they're referring to the heavenly hosts, or the angels, or the messengers, the fallen angels who have descended with Satan. Okay, so in the New Testament it says Mark 3:22, Pharisees accuse Jesus of driving out demons by the power of Beelzebub, prince of the demons, and the name of those who appear to extend through the verses of Matthew 12:24, which would happens to be all the other deadly sins, okay? So there's a lot of different things about Beelzebub on here, and him, and he must be, like I said, he must be one of those demons that has a lot. And you remember that movie, The Lord of the Flies, okay? So we're talking about, if we're talking about, you know, this stuff is not real, then why does why does the industry, the music industry, why does Hollywood make films called Lord of the Flies? I know there's a book called Lord of the Flies, but Beelzebub is also referred to as the Lord of the Flies. Just something you can think on. I'm going to go ahead and save this page because I need to read more about it. Got to pray first. Got to always pray. Always get into deep prayer before you get into messing this stuff, because it will jack your spirit completely up. You need to know who you're messing with before you start doing things like this, okay? So I'm not asking you to do research on the devil, because if you got a weak spirit, his dominions in them will tear you on up. That's all I'm saying. So I will not send you to something that will affect you in the long run. I told you, I'm under attack right now. But we got to pray. We're gonna pray through it, right? We're gonna pray through it. All right. So check this out. We've got the cow. We've got the head of man. We've got a leopard, and we got the sheep. This is just picture of how you pronounce that. As molest, a molest, could be a molest, A-S-M-O-D-E-U-S, okay? It's also derived from Hebrew. He is the king of demons, mostly known from the book of the Torbit, in which he is primarily Estenotix. This demon is also mentioned into the, you'd have to believe in all that other stuff, what I'm about to say, and the story of the construction of the Temple of Solomon. He was supposed to be the Renaissance Christians to be the king of the nine hells. It also refers to him as one of the seven princes of hell. Okay? And he's the one that is classified, as lust. He's the lust. Some deep stuff, y'all. Deep stuff. So, I don't know. I'll tell you this. I do not know anything to do with other angels but the angels that are specifically mentioned in the Bible. Now, I know that other people said that, you know, there's the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that stuff. I don't get down with all that stuff, and it's only because if it was meant to be in the Bible, it would be in the Bible. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Okay? So, according to the in the book of Tobit, he is attracted to Sarah, Raphael's daughter, and is not willing to let any husband possess her. Hence, he is slain seven successive husbands then of their marriage night, including their sexual confrontations in their marriage. It is a smoky vapor that causes the demon to flee from Egypt while Raphael binded him. And that's what I'm talking about. I don't know who Raphael is. He's not mentioned in the original books. Not saying that it's not, but as I am a believer of, I'm only going off the Bible that I know. And it's also mentioned in the Kabbalah. Now, the Kabbalah is very interesting. There's three types of Kabbalah. There's the American Christian Kabbalah. There's the Kabbalah that are used by the Jews, and then there's the other Kabbalah, which is spelled with a K. One is used for Judaism, one's used for Christianity, and one uses for the occult. Okay. So if you really haven't studied about the Kabbalah, this might be the opportunity to understand the Kabbalah, because a lot of the Jews that say they're Jews, who say they're Jews, are really not Jews. I'm only saying this, that it's coming from the Lord himself. all the revelations. I'm not saying that Jews aren't Jews. If you're a Jew, take that up with God. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Okay? I'm just getting that out of the revelations. So, now we're going to go ahead and move on. And the last one that we're going to talk about is Belphegor. That's his name. And I call him Mr. Like, you know, he's real. This demonistic demon comes from the Hebrew word. The way it comes from is derived from Hebrew, and he is also one of the seven princes of hell, who helps people make discoveries. He, oh my goodness, he seduces people by suggesting to them ingenious inventions that will make them rich. According to some 16th century demonists, his power is stronger in April. Bishops and witch hunter Peter. Now there is a, and I know this is going to sound silly, but there actually is a demonistic chart for these. Okay, the seven deadly sins. There is a actual the seven. I'll just say it like this. Okay, it says during the 16th century, it was believed that each demon had more strength in an accomplished in his mission during a specific month of the year. In this way, he is his own assistant power and works better during that month. Now, if you believe that, you do. If you don't, you don't. Look. Astrology is a very fickle thing. If you don't know about astrology, please read Daniel, because Daniel hits you to the astrologers of the Babylonians and them dealing with witchcraft. Now, Belial is in January. Leviathan is in February. Satan is in March. Belphegor is in April. Lucifer is in May. Birth is in June. Beelzebub is in July. Astaroth is in August. Themuzi is in September. Belial is in August. And Asmenidai is in November. And Moloch is in December. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's for you to believe. That's for you. You can do research on that. Okay, that's that. But you have to understand about astrology. A lot of people go and say, you know, what's my horoscope say today? That's what I'm referring to. Those type of things, even though you think that it's harmless, you're dealing with witchcraft. I mean, I can't sugarcoat it any other way but let you know that's what you're dealing with. And the reason why you're dealing with witchcraft is because I'm talking about the spirits, operate because they're given authority to operate. Okay? They're given authority to operate. I didn't get to wrath. For some reason, I didn't. Right. Did not get to him. And his name, another name for him, for Amon is Belial. Now, the movie, there's a movie called Belial. He is the head of infernal power. He is also the first demon listed in the whatever that is. I have no idea what that is, but I can put it into. Wow. There's 69 demons listed. I got to do a lot of praying before I hit this up. A lot of praying. And some of these names I see right now, it's been thrown in our face in public like it's nothing. And so It's kind of like the genie in the bottle. Remember, you know, you say you rub it three times, you rub the thing, and the genie comes out. Or that old folklore about Mary. If you go in the bathroom and you say Bloody Mary three times, she'll appear in the mirror and all that stuff. Okay. So, but check this out though. According to Bethel, is the first king of hell, which is with the estates of the east. He has three heads: a toad, a man, and a cat. He also speaks in relish, but well-formed voice, and commands 66 legions. Bethel teaches the arts of invisibility and may be the equivalent to Bevel, one of the seven princes of hell. Now, let's back up, because it says that I gotta look up this word, because I don't know. I'm not familiar with this word. I'm not familiar with it. So I will look it up. Let me see. It says the word is, it's an adjective. It says making or constituting a disturbing, harsh, and loud voice. All right, sorry, y'all. Got booted out again. It says making or constituting a disturbingly harsh or loud voice, a noise. It says hoarse, husky, rough, grouch, or gruff, harsh, ferocious, and thick. Okay? Where's he at? Okay, and so he says, but it's well-formed voice. This is what gets me. They said that he commands 66 legions. We've already talked about who legion is and what legion is. These are many demons. So he commands 66 legions that consists of many demons. He also teaches the art of indivisibility, so he can disappear. That's some really wow. Okay, Duke Argers, the ruling east zone of hell, and being served by 31 legions of demons. He can also run away, come back, and thus who runs and stands find pleasure in teaching. In morality expansions, he also has the power to destroy dignity and temporary and superficial. He is depicted as a pale old man riding a lizard. A crocodile. Okay, so I'm sorry. This right here goes in, and apparently this is a list. Yeah, so I'm not gonna get into the list. I can't get into the list because it's too deep for me. I have not prayed up enough to get that deep in it. I don't want to get swallowed up by these demons, because they're gonna be following me and trying to destroy me in my dream as it is. But I want to also give you these things to just a little footnote, okay? The classification of the demons based on several criteria. There's demons of fate, F-A-T-E. There's goblins, imbecents, and sibidents. There's wandering groups or armies of demons, familiars. Of course, we know what familiars is because of vampires and stuff like that. Do I know of any of this stuff? Have I seen us? I have no idea what this stuff is. But I know that Satan and his dominions have different power. So I'm just giving you this information. Redudes, camelbins, are other demons that are born from the union of demons with human beings, which would be considered Nephilims that was destroyed. Liars and mischief demons that attack the saints, demons that try to induce old women to attempting witchcraft Sabbaths. And so now that I have explained these things to you, I'm going to stop reading this stuff, get off of it, and I am going to talk to you normally. If you like to call in, the number to call in is 347-989-1014. I would love to hear your ideal of what we're talking about. And we're talking about spiritual gifts. We're talking about the spiritual gifts that are innate in your body once you've been baptized and received the Holy Spirit. I mean, once you've been baptized and received the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God. I was watching. I don't like watching or listening to a lot of music that's on. I'm very particular on the music that I listen to. I do listen to music. I do watch movies, and I'm very particular on the movies that I watch. The movies that I do watch, I'm very, very picky. I mean, my wife doesn't really like watching movies with me sometimes because I analyze it. And I can't watch a movie just to watch the movie. Now, the song that I'm about to refer to is Rihanna. I have the biggest problem with Rihanna because she is so demonistic, it is unbelievable. Rihanna is so I'll say it again. Rihanna is so demonistic, it's unbelievable. The Umbrella song, okay, listen. Let me tell you. You've heard of the yin and the yang. Where there's darkness, there's light. Okay, period. So, when you get baptized and receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at Rihanna, she always talks about water. Water in the occult world deals with rebirth as well. Okay, so. I like the song Diamond in the Sky, Diamond, okay? I like that song. I know I shouldn't listen to it. I seen the video. I was so disgusted. Rihanna is touching a person with tattoos. Her fingernails are dragging across this thing, and she's got something black on her arm, her fingers. She also got some tattoos on there. I think it's a year or something like that. But the thing that really got me is the fact that she was holding someone's hand, and the person, I assume it to be a demon. Later in the video, there's a person walking, and the person is burning. Obviously, he's a demon. Obviously. Thirdly, she's in the water floating, okay? And you ask, George, what are you talking about? She's just in the water floating. She's telling you that she's been reborn, people. She's not the only person that does. You remember that song, Sweet Dreams Are Made of These? Who am I to this? If you look at that video, it has nothing to do with the song. The video, listen, the video has a whole bunch of cows, and then the woman's in a wedding dress, and she's in a boat. When we're talking about the occult, when we're talking about when we're talking about them showing it being in our face, when Rihanna's floating in the water, she is telling you she has been reborn and she has given her life to the devil. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's you. But when you take other videos and you look at these things by different artists, they tell you they're being reborn, okay? So in her video, Umbrella, or just the song itself, she's not referring, Rihanna's never speaking about a man. She's always speaking about a Satan, always. Now, whether you believe that or not, I'm sorry, we got a caller, and I apologize because I wasn't looking at the screen. All right, you know what that means. Hello, caller, how you doing? Can you say your name and where you're from?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead, caller. Can you say your name? Where you from?
Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing? I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hey, man. This is Casey from Lake Charles.
Okay. How you doing, Casey?
All right, man. I was calling. I've been listening to your show up because I know a lot of the stuff you're talking about, man. And I just wanted to make a point of the this new song they have, Lamborghini Mercy by 2 Chainz and Kanye West.
Oh yeah.
Have you heard the hook of that song?
Yeah, it's demonistic. It's talking about revelations.
On the hook of the song, if you listen to it, it says it's going to be weeping and gnashing and moaning and gnashing of teeth.
Yes, sir.
I mean, these elite people and these Satan worshipers, they are using ignorance against people. If you don't know what's going on, you're going to chant these words and you're going to open up the doors for these demonic spirits because you don't even know what you're doing.
Can you say that again for my listeners?
If you are ignorant, they're using ignorance against the people. And if you are ignorant and you don't know what you're doing, by you chanting these songs and these words, all you're doing are opening portals and doors for demonic spirits.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that because that's very intelligent what you said. They are opening up portals for the demons to come into their spirit. Thank you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I mean, that was just a great point. Thank you.
I mean... Yeah, you got to understand, people that are ignorant, all they know is of the materials of this world, just like Satan tempted Jesus Christ. He going to tempt these people. Now, a person that's caught up in the materialistic things, you think they want to serve Christ? No, they want what's here. They want what's now. So they will sell their souls for the materials, but they're not looking at they're looking at a temporary life compared to eternal life. You know, this earth is a short time. We're just here for experience. Eternity is forever. So they'll sell their souls for a short period on earth and burn for eternity.
I totally agree with you saying. 100%. Go ahead, keep talking. I'm feeling what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, but I'm just checking out your show. This is Keith and I went to school with you, man. I'm checking out your show, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, but you need to keep letting these people know what's going on, man, because they are the deception, man.
I do what the Lord tells me to do. I mean, I can only go as far as He let me go, and I give Him all praise, honor, and glory. Because, like you said,
oh yeah,
because people are deceived, and that veil over their eyes, the only thing they see is the materialistic things. And
that's all they see, and the money, all of it, that's all a trick, man. We are not put on earth to work and worship money. We are put on earth for reasons. We all have a purpose of being. You know, and it's under so much, it is so much deception, man, that, I mean, and you can't really talk to people because people have been brainwashed their whole life from children. So until you have enlightenment and knowledge for yourself, you just got to let people wake up for themselves.
Right. But what I've learned when I lived in Oregon, I talked to so many people about this stuff, and when they became of age, they finally understood what I was talking about. You know, of course they were in high school when I was telling them. I was like, y'all think all of this stuff is cool right now, but when you get out on your own, you'll see what I'm talking about. And I tell you what, I thank God for some people who were listening, because there are going to be people
exactly.
who are not going to get that revelation until they're older. But that's all right. It's
you
not
see,
my
and
time.
One thing I've learned to do is to turn off the television.
Gotta do it. Gotta turn off the television.
You got to turn off your television. The television is the number one tool used by Satan to project reality that they want you to think is life. But
that's, right.
that's not it. You know, that's a deception. It's all the lust for money, the big house on the hill, the money, the cars, it's just an illusion. All of it is an illusion. Until they understand that and get to the knowledge of what their purpose is, they're gonna be under deception and they're gonna be they tricked, man. But that's it. I'm gonna let you finish your show. I just had to speak on some things, man.
Well, you're more than welcome to call back anytime to say whatever you want. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
All right. God bless you. Take care.
All right.
I know there's a lot of my listeners out there who understand what I'm talking about. And as Paul said, Apostle Paul said, this is not for the believers. This is not, it'd be pointless to be for me to be talking to the believers because they already believe. I'm talking to the people who don't believe. I'm talking about those Christians who think that Christian life or Christendom is going to church and doing services. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but what I'm saying is you've got to attack the devil because the devil is attacking the saints. You got your Bible? Use it. If you want to be a songstress, sing it. Now, I was bringing the point about about Rihanna. And Rihanna, I'm telling you, they are using that young woman because her voice is so angelic. You have to understand, Satan was the minister of music. He was the man of music. They're using, let me tell you what. There's no person on this planet, not even people who cannot hear, who are born with hearing defects, that don't understand music because they can understand vibrations. So you have to understand the vitality of music is the gateway to your emotions. Now, you can believe me or you cannot believe me, but let me tell you, it is a gateway. And like my brother said, Kenton said, he said, you are opening up a portal or a channel. Now, whether you believe that or not, you have to understand it is a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual thing. You can't see God, but you know God is there. You can't see the wind, but you know the wind is there because you can feel it. So what I'm saying to you people is sometimes you just got to have a little faith, okay? I'm talking about that spiritual faith. Some people don't have that. You got to ask God for it. Having spiritual faith is having faith until death. No matter what goes on in your life, how bad it may be, believe that God will be with you. I don't care how meek your life, I don't care if you are a battered down woman, if your daddy comes in drunk and beats you and rapes you to the brink of death, have faith in God. You say, George, you're talking a mean game. Listen, I've looked death in the eye. I'm talking a mean game. I'm not going to boast about my strength. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses because that is where I'm strong. Because I would be a fool to boast about what I've been through. No, what God brought me through. So when we talk about these things, remember, if God has it, then the devil has the exact opposite of it. And I tell you, I like that song, shining bright like a diamond, shining bright like a diamond in the sky. Come on now. A diamond in the sky? Who is she referring to? Okay, well, let's look at these vampires, these twilight vampires who sparkle in the sun. Come on, y'all, let's be for real. The beautification of it, huh? It's all right. I'm gonna pull up the video because it is really disturbing me that I can't remember. I got short term memory loss, but I praise Jesus anyway because He is my Savior. I got to where I'm weak, I'm strong. I got a couple minutes. I'm not gonna play the song because I know y'all know it. But it is, because I try not to get hooked on Rihanna because her whole little voice is so. Like he said, you be singing and you open up channels, and I don't know what she's singing. I mean, because if you deal with Kanye West and all them, if you play that music backwards, I'm sure they worship the devil. I guarantee it. So I'm pulling up the video, and it's a beautiful diamond, y'all. Beautiful diamonds. Okay? And I know you're going to say, well, George, you're out of control. But now the video's coming. She's in water. She's got these long fingernails. She's got one, two, three. She's got three marks. She's got three marks and three marks and three marks. Those are the number of the beast. That's where it is. She's got the marks of the beast on her hand. That's what she has. The reason why I know that is because the lines of activation, and I believe that's another day for another story for another day. I know this stuff because I've done my research, but you need to do it, okay? So now she's got something on her. She's got some year on her arm. I figure out the date. Maybe the date's important. Anyway, so you've got the sun worship in the background. She's slipping. She's got the mark of the beast on her hand. She's got her fingernails long like the devil, like the evilness. Oh, boy, look at here. And there's stuff that's breaking down, broken, and they're rebuilding. And it's going backwards. So obviously, if it's going backwards, what she's telling you is if you play it backwards, there's something hidden in the background. And she's running from something. And there's more sun worship, and she's running from the dark to the light, and she's got black on. She's taking off her clothes and all this stuff. And she's holding someone's hand. It's kind of that play when Michelangelo drew that picture of him and Jesus touching hand or angel touching hand. But and then they have the aurora lights up there. I mean, it's in your face. It's in your face. And Rihanna has never been. How can I say? She's never been in a trial period. Some artists have to go into trial periods, like that Hudson girl, Jennifer Hudson and Beyonce and all them stuff. They go through trial periods and stuff if they can make it. Yeah, I never did that. Now there's a stallion in there. That stallion represents one of the horses of the plagues. And they need to hurry up and fast forward it because I don't want to see this garbage anyway. And also, if you see Beyonce's song "Sweet Dreams," there's a white horse running in the background, but you've got to slow it down or pause it to see the pale horse running in the background. And then there's fire burning a rose. Now, once again, the significance of the fire is telling you who she belongs to, what's going on in her life. She's burning off of old existence, and it goes back into her and the smoke. Now, smoke, fire, water, I mean, these are the elements, y'all. She's telling them she's being baptized. She's immersing herself in the water. Now there's this person. She's walking, and this person is walking in flames. Is that the person that she referred to who died in the water, who died in the flames? I don't know. But what I do know is this person is burning. And then he disappears. He never comes into the video again. So, look, I'll stop playing the video, and I tell you the real deal. The reason why I do this is that I do this for you guys. I do it because I love, like I said, I tell people I do it because I love humanity. I do it because God commands me to do these things for you. Do I suffer? Yes, I'm going to suffer. But that's part of discipleship. I got to... If you haven't been to my website, I'd ask you please to go to my website. It's www.soundoffforums.com.net. Just put it in the web browser and you will find it. I'm trying to. Ooh, man, that's a lot of. Oops. Let's see. That's not what I was looking for. Jeez, I'm trying to hurry up so I can. Let's see here. I need to try to find this. Three times I was beaten with a rod. I was stoned. I'm trying to find Paul's discipleship and how he was just describing things because this is what I want to explain to you about what I was talking about when I was talking about the the spiritual gifts, because the spiritual gifts are very important. You need to know what gifts you have. Okay, you need to know what gifts you have, and if you don't know what gifts you have, you need to ask God to give you discernment over it. Because it is important, or it's very imperative, to know who you are as a child of God. And if you don't know God, that's still not an excuse. Because he'll give you a way out. Oh yeah, he'll give you a way out for sure. But you've got to be willing to help him and do the right thing. So important to give love. So important. Because if you don't know how to give love and don't have faith, and it's going to be hard to kind of make it. And I know I'm kind of babbling here, but I want to come with a conclusion. And the reason why I want to come with a conclusion is because it's important for me to get these things correct and write for my listeners. I don't like giving false information, and if I mess up, then I'll come back and I'll tell you. If I messed up and everything. So, this is 2 Corinthians 6. All right. 2 Corinthians 6. Thank you guys for putting that in the chat room for me. Appreciate it. 2 Corinthians 6. Okay. This is 3 through 10. It says, we put no stumbling blocks in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Whether as servants of God, we command ourselves in every way. In great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and in distress, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hardships, sleepless nights, in hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in the sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and a good report, genuine, yet regard as importers, knowing your regards is unknown, dying, yet we live on, beaten, and yet we are not killed, sorrowful, yet also rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Deep stuff. It's deep for me. Got to come up with one more scripture because this one gets me. Mm-hmm. I need to get it. 11:25, 2 Corinthians 11. I know, I'm out of time.